If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 15th, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing, Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Less very happy to be here with you today, and even more happy to be here with somebody else.
Oh my God, I can't wait to talk to that somebody else. In fact, I'll talk to him right now. Still, Mike, how are you doing today?
Blessing, I'm having a great day today. We got to celebrate 20 years of Xbox with you, me, Tim, and the team here, Kinda Funny, and all of the best friends around the globe. And it was a very, very special moment that I cannot wait to break down with all of you guys.
We're going to break it all down. I'm very excited to talk about it because today's stories include a bunch of Xbox news, GTA Hot Coffee making an unexpected comeback, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you. We just recorded our live reactions to Xbox's 20th anniversary stream. It's me, Andy, Tim, and Snow Bico Michael celebrating 20 years of Xbox. That'll be up over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames if you missed us reacting to it right here on Twitch. And also, if PlayStation is more your thing, we're recording PS Love You XOXO later today, and it's our GTA trilogy review. You're not too late to write in to Patreon with your questions and your own thoughts about the trilogy. Get those in and tune into the episode when it goes live for everyone tomorrow on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, ExpressVPN, Amazon Music, and ButcherBox, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
And I wanted to get into it quick because we got a lot to talk about just with story number one. Xbox is celebrating their 20th anniversary. We got kind of a wrap up of the stream we just watched for you. The main news tidbits are we're getting a bunch of games coming to the Xbox backwards compatibility, which is exciting. They announced a 6-episode Xbox documentary series about the come up, the making of Xbox, going into 360, going to Xbox One, all that good stuff. We got a live action Halo series tease that, of course, is coming to Paramount Plus in 2022. And then the big one, Halo Infinite Multiplayer, is out today, right now. You can download it, you can play it. Tim, Mike, you guys are some of the biggest Halo fans that I know. What are your reactions to this stream? How'd you enjoy it? What are your thoughts on Halo Infinite coming out right now? Tim, let's start with you.
I really think they knocked it out of the park with this presentation. This is everything you could really ask for an anniversary celebration stream. I think they did such a great job, both presentation-wise, which is something I'm always a big stickler for, but also in terms of like announcements and bringing the goods. They brought the goods. I kind of feel like anything we could have possibly wanted from a Xbox 20-year anniversary stream was given to us on a silver platter, a very green glowing platter, if actually
a green beautiful
exactly. But like the backwards compatible games, like, that is awesome. That is such a great strength that they've had for the last couple years, and 70 more games, fantastic. FPS boost for those, fantastic. Sonic Generations getting that, can't wait. Bless, that's awesome. But then going through getting the actual properties for the Halo series that, like, I believe is actually coming next year. You know, they've been talking about doing a Halo TV show forever, but it seems real. We saw a man in the suit. Like, that's crazy. There's a date, there's a platform, it's happening. And then to end the show with the oft-rumored, but hard-to-believe Halo multiplayer, free to play, free now, available before the game comes out. Fantastic stuff. I really, my major kudos to them. They did it, and they did it in such a fun way. The documentary series, everything they announced was exciting.
Yeah.
Good for you, Xbox.
Good for you, Xbox. This is definitely one of the best presentations of the year. We hear it kind of funny, right? We react to pretty much every major video games presentation. And, like, you know, we look at them through the content that's announced and through, like, the hype moments. But I think a big part of what we take away from a lot of the presentations are the production of them. And, like, the level of, all right, what are you advertising? What are you giving us? And where does that land? And one of the things that Xbox talked about with this presentation leading up to it, they mentioned, hey, we have no big new game announcements. Like, don't come to this expecting that. And I think that helped us kind of level our expectations in terms of what this thing is going to be. And the thing that I like about this presentation, that this presentation nailed, was everything else around, like, everything else outside of just content. Because the content here was dope in terms of the announcements, right? Again, the Halo series, Halo Infinite out now, the documentary stuff, all that stuff was good content. But the presentation of it, I mentioned this during the live stream, I am not, like, a big Xbox person, right? I like Xbox. I love playing on my Xbox One and my Xbox Series X. It's usually far between because those are my exclusive machines. I'm playing Forza on my Xbox Series X. I'm playing Rare Replay on my Xbox One. I'm playing the Rare games that I love on my Xbox, but I don't necessarily go to my Xbox for third parties, right? Usually I'm there for the exclusives and for the Xbox Game Pass games I want to check out. The fact that I was able to get feels off of watching the presentation, I was able to get emotional. I was like, oh shit, this brings back memories, right? Of, like, me going to my friend's house and playing their games, playing Blinks the Time Sweeper, playing Halo and getting demolished in Halo, playing Jet Set Radio Future, right? And even the announcement of all of the games they're bringing forward from Xbox backwards compatibility and adding FPS boost and adding all these features, I think was just such a phenomenal way to package it and put it out there. And so, yeah, no, definitely kudos to Xbox. Snowbike Mike, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you guys really wrapped up everything that just happened and broke it down so well. For me, it was waking up this morning and thinking about the memories, thinking about the moments and what Xbox and really video games mean to me. I think Phil Spencer always says it so well and really harps on it. It doesn't matter where you play. All that matters is that you play, right? And it brings us all together when we play games. And that's something that when I looked back on this early in the morning, it was like, man, a lot of my memories were made and forged through video games. That's what brought me here to Kind of Funny. That's what brought me to this community. And it makes it so special to look back on the 20 years because all of my life I've been playing on Xbox. My family and friends know me for playing Halo back on the original Xbox, the Xbox 360. I made friends when I was all alone traveling to my first year of college through the Xbox 360, and I kept up with friends because of Xbox Live. And when I moved forward, I think about the moments of, you know, being able to break down barriers and talk with people at work that I hardly knew because of video games and how that brought us closer. And I made lifelong friendships because of that, too. The launch of the Xbox One, driving down 40 miles of icy, you know, mountainous highway to go and get my Xbox One and driving back up in the middle of the night. Even now, the launch of the Xbox Series X and being a part of the Kind of Funny family for the first year, this was something that was really special to me. And it was really cool to see all the faces that we now know and love, right? You saw Phil Spencer, you saw Sarah Bond, you saw the first ever head of Xbox, Robbie Batch, up there talking about the importance of what it was like for Microsoft and Xbox to do this venture where they didn't have to do that. There was no reason for them to do that, but they did. And I think that's something going to be really cool. When we see this documentary out in December, it's going to be a lot of fun to look back on it. But today was a day of celebration. Today was something where I wanted to smile and think about those memories. And, you know, the cherry on top is Halo releasing multiplayer. I know the rumor kind of went wild on Friday. And sure, I didn't want to believe that. I didn't want to get my hopes up. But it is really, truly incredible what this team at 343 has done, right? After a year of delay, after a lot of conversation of, what is going on with Halo? Can they stick the landing to say, hey, we're essentially 4 weeks early. Here you go. Have fun with it. And to release this is really something special. So I'm so happy. I loved hearing you guys break everything down. But from my perspective, it was all about the memories and the celebration.
Dude, that for me is the thing, Mike. Like, you're so right, and Phil talking about like video games meaning more to people than just what they are. Like, my history with Xbox goes all the way back to the beginning, and some of my best friendships are from Xbox. Like, the reason I first talked to Alfredo Diaz ever was because in my algebra class, I looked over and I saw him holding a DVD of a Halo MLG tournament, and I was like, oh shit, like, you play Halo? And like that conversation sparked a lifelong friendship. You know, it's like, There's definitely something very special about video games as a whole, and especially video games and hardware designers that have stood the test of time. We're now 20 years on with Xbox, and them having that legacy to be able to look back and poke fun at The Rock, and, you know, like, have all these moments. And, you know, Mike talking about them starting with the OG dude in the beginning. It's like, that is something that we would love to see PlayStation do. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God,
a PlayStation 20 year anniversary, or 25, whatever it is, like, that would be so exciting to see this way. I think that Xbox did a great job of, in what was it, 25 minutes, kind of really doing a fantastic job of looking back at the different eras, what made them special. And I thought they did a good job with the segments and the bouncing back and forth between going into the vault, looking at old footage, looking at new stuff, looking at current stuff, but then also the fun things of like, hey, here's a bunch of gamers that met online that are now meeting in real life. Like, little things like that that could be corny, could be cringy in the right context, are such an amazing celebration that really kind of show what video games can be. And I think that they did a great job with that, of including that in this whole thing, and other elements like that, all the accessibility stuff. Like, Xbox have been building a foundation for a long time, and it's a foundation built off of this legacy. And I love that today they really, really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I want to bounce off that really quick, Blessing, of like touching on that 25 minutes, right? Like, we've been through a lot of presentations as a group now watching these. And I think when you think about a celebration, we could have gone on for an hour and a half, and really drug this out. But somehow they found a good way of like keeping this fast, fresh, hitting the points that they needed to. There were some things that were definitely skipped and missed, but when you look back on it, that was 25 minutes of fun, of memories, and of hype. And you got to give them kudos for that. It's hard to do 20 years in 25 minutes, but somehow they nailed it, which I'm really happy to see.
Yeah, and I love to see them. I love seeing them not shy away from even the meme-y moments of Xbox. It seems like they hit the entire history really well. You mentioned the Rock stuff, even the fact that they brought the Rock back, and Rock was referencing old Rock stuff and talking about like, oh yeah, man, who wears sunglasses inside and all this shit. I think it's such a good way to do it. Talking about Halo for a bit, because over the weekend we did get the rumors that Halo was going to drop today, and like, Mike, I'm with you that I was trying to measure my expectations, right? I was streaming last night, and even people in my stream were like, do you think Halo is dropping on Monday? And I was going through the journey in my head of, oh, well, the leakers don't, I mean, they've had credible sources in the past, and like, they've had credible leaks in the past, but also they're not pointing to good sources and all these things. And you go through the rigmarole of, all right, I don't know if I believe the leaks per se, but I do believe the idea of it. Like, the idea that they can drop Halo on the 20th anniversary, I think would make such a good story and be such a cool and hype thing. And the fact that they're able to pull it off, one, I think is dope. And I want to throw it back to you guys, because I know you guys have played the Halo test flights that I've missed out on. Where are you guys' hype levels for Halo now that it's out? Like, where are you guys' expectations in terms of it dropping now and it leading into the official launch next month?
The moon, man. Like the most fun I've had playing a video game this year has been the Halo Infinite test flights, and the fact that they're now launching the beta today with like the full launch in just a couple weeks. Like, this is great. I think this is the beginning of something very special. We saw last week the Forza numbers just being absolutely unbelievable. And
yeah.
They're,
oh my God,
you know,
yeah.
we better fucking believe it. Like, this is just the new standard. This is the new understanding of what Game Pass has been building to, and now having this game, not even just Game Pass, it's free to play for everybody. Like, that is insane. The numbers on this are going to be crazy. And if what we have already played is any sign, I think that Halo Infinite is going to be an absolute game changer in terms of multiplayer communities and gaming. And I think that it is going to be a major, major deal. It's really just on them to adapt and change, listen to feedback, and make compelling seasons that are going to keep people coming back over and over and over for potentially an infinite amount of time.
Oh, yeah. Nice, Tim. Yeah, that was really well said, Tim. I think, Blessing, it's one of those, right? Like, somebody in the chat was in here earlier, like, was it really a rumor, though? And it's like, you know, when you look at it, we're 4 weeks away from launch. This team did not have to do that, right? Especially with Call of Duty and Battlefield both releasing within a 14-day window of today, right? Like, there's a lot of first-person shooter action happening in the gaming space. And no, they didn't have to do this, right? But when you look back on it, this is not only the celebration of Xbox 20th anniversary, it's also the celebration of Halo, right? And Master Chief. And it is important to somehow celebrate that. And you got to give big kudos to the team over at 343. We don't know what it's like behind the scenes. We do know what it's like throughout COVID, right? And how hard it's been for these developers. And the idea of them somehow pushing this out 4 weeks early to say, hey, go out and have fun, like, let's get it done, is truly incredible and really, really something special. And when I look at it, right, Tim said it so well, this Halo will be in the hands of more people than any other Halo before it, right? It's free to play, it's on cloud, it's on console, it's on PC. This now has the chance to truly deliver the most incredible Halo experience to date. And it will, right? Our expectations are through the moon for this. And of course, they need to stick the landing on the campaign. We know Halo multiplayer rocks, but where it matters is the campaign. But as of right now, to celebrate 20 years, Master Chief and releasing multiplayer, this is a huge win for the Xbox world right now.
Now, Mike, you've been playing Battlefield 2042. I have Battlefield 2042 installed on my PlayStation. I've not touched it yet. Is Halo Infinite coming out right now? Or what is Halo Infinite coming out right now going to do for you and you playing Battlefield 2042? And what do you think people in general are going to, are like their reception of Battlefield 2042 is going to be? Do you think this derails its launch completely?
You know, Blessing, that's a tough one, right? We talked about it on the XCast and how Phil and the team over at Xbox have really talked about being inclusive and working well with others, right? We talked about Elden Ring being shown at the Game Awards instead of just Xbox, right? And like Phil and the team want to make sure that you see and can play everything on their console. And that is something where now you're stepping on the toes of Battlefield's true release, which is this coming Friday, right? Mm-hmm. And what does that play a factor to? And it's interesting, you know, I talked about it on the XCast and I talked about it throughout my streams. Now the true balance as a gamer begins, right? Because I do believe that Call of Duty Vanguard is a fun product. I like the campaign so far. I like the World War II setting. I love the team arena and the fast-paced nature of Call of Duty. And they have Warzone coming out with a new map soon enough. Then you flip over to Battlefield, and there is nothing like Battlefield. Battlefield is a true massive online multiplayer shooter, 126 whatever people on a map. You do not get those moments anywhere else. And they had a really hard launch day one, but I'll tell you, day two and day three have gone much smoother on the Battlefield side, and it is fun to play. And now you add Halo into the mix, which has the nostalgia factor, an incredible team arena, which will pit you against the very best, and a bigger team battle that will make it feel fun and fresh. If you're a gamer that loves first-person shooters, the balance of juggling all three of these games is going to be insane, and that's what I'm dealing with now. And I don't know which one will truly take the back burner, but I do know one thing. It's going to be a fun weekend for me and my friends to play.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of the fall where we got Titanfall 2. I think it was Battlefield 1, and we got Call of Duty all within the same season. And that totally demolished Titanfall 2 in terms of sales and reception. Like, people love Titanfall 2. People talk about Titanfall 2 as being one of the best first-person shooter campaigns of the last generation, right? And, like, that game was incredible. But in terms of sales, right, that didn't allow that game to really sit and, like, you know, be played by a lot of people because they're sandwiching in between these two big FPS juggernauts. I feel like this is almost like the, like, karma coming back to Battlefield in a way where now Battlefield has to compete with not only Call of Duty now, but going head-to-head with Halo in the same week. And if I had to pick a loser in that situation, right now my money is on Battlefield not coming out alive. And just in terms of it, like, reaching heights in terms of sales, right? We have a Call of Duty story coming up in terms of how that game's performing, and Call of Duty numbers year over year are a bit down this year, but that's kind of to be expected with what Call of Duty Vanguard is and it being World War II and it coming off of Black Ops and Warzone and all these things. I got a lot of worries about Battlefield, especially coming off of impressions as well that we've heard over the last few weeks about how people didn't really take to the beta as much. Even impressions I'm hearing the last few days are saying that the game is all right, but still has quite a few things to fix and figure out. I'm really curious to see how that pans out by, let's say, the next few weeks, right? By the time Halo Infinite officially releases with the campaign, I wonder where we're all going to be at with Battlefield 2042.
Yeah, and Tim said it so well, right? You saw the numbers for Forza Horizon. That was on Game Pass. You had to pay for that subscription. Now put Halo here that's totally for free against those other two first-person shooters that you have to actually pay money to play, right? Like, this game is going to do massive numbers over this first week, and then when the Halo campaign drops, I look very forward to Benji's sales and, you know, 343 sharing these numbers off this first week. It's going to be astronomical.
Now, I want to keep the Xbox conversation going with story number two. Xbox Game Pass was originally designed as a rental service, Microsoft reveals. I'm pulling from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Xbox Game Pass began life as a game rental service, according to a new Microsoft interview. Speaking to GQ for its profile celebrating 20 years of Xbox, Sarah Bond, Microsoft's head of gaming ecosystems, revealed that the Game Pass project, originally codenamed Arches, began as a rental service for video games. The shift towards a Netflix-like subscription model came as a result of changes in the sales lifespan of games, she explained. Quote, something like 75% of a game's revenue used to be made in the first 2 months of release. Nowadays, it's spread over 2 years. The piece also reveals that the Xbox team was initially met with great resistance when going to publishers with the concept of Game Pass. Quote, they were like, quote, no way, Game Pass is going to devalue games, Bond said. The team then began experimenting with older titles in order to convince publishers. Xbox Game Pass launched in June 2017 and has become central to Microsoft's gaming business, attracting over 18 million subscribers as of January 2021, according to the latest publicly announced figure. During Microsoft's fourth quarter earnings call in July, CEO Satya Nadella claimed Xbox Game Pass was growing rapidly, with subscribers playing approximately 40% more games and spending 50% more than non-members. I thought that was a fun tidbit to include here for the 20th anniversary. What do you guys think the present would be like if Xbox Game Pass was more of a rental service?
I mean, it's insane. Like, Game Pass is still crazy. It's one of those things that I can't believe is real. I can't believe that it's working, but here it is, and it is. I remember being on Games Daily with Andrea the day that the news dropped, and it was like, there must be something I'm not...
Kind of caveat.
You're telling me all first-party games are going to just come day and date on this? There's what? So when Halo Infinite does come, when Gears 4 does come, or 5, like, that... What? No way. And then we started seeing that all happen. And that was a very different time for Xbox. Crackdown 3 was still the joke of the industry of when's it going to fucking come. And that was kind of the first major title to drop on it. But here we are a couple years in. And like, yeah, it's a monumental shift of how games are monetized and delivered. And that is such a gamble that I honestly am very shocked is working. And it is, though. Like, you're looking at all this, like, these numbers, they're huge. Like, this is working. This is the best Xbox, the healthiest Xbox has been in a very long time. So it's crazy. In 20 years, I wonder what we're going to be looking back and thinking about Game Pass. And the conversation of what if it was a rental service and all that stuff, it's like, what they did was the boldest thing they possibly could have done. And they went all in.
Yeah.
That's it. Go for it, Mike.
Oh, I was just saying, what a wild story that is, Bless, right? I think if we all rewind time to 2015, that's understandable, right? Redbox was kind of at its prime back then, and we understood renting games and videos and DVDs. Like, that was the normal. And I could totally see them being like, well, this is what the market is doing now. But to take that step and go one step further and say, no, it's not just a rental service, it's more, that's truly incredible to see. And look at where it's now. Where it's at now. If it wasn't what it is now, it wouldn't be the same thing. So that's truly a wild story to hear.
Yeah. And I love that. I mean, that is a huge pivot, right? Like, looking at the landscape and going, oh yeah, the lifespan of games is going longer and longer, right? It's no more the thing of people are buying the game the first week, finishing it, and returning. That is happening less and less with more different types of games being developed and multiplayer becoming more and more of a thing, or at least like ongoing games becoming more and more of a thing, right? As you have games like Sea of Thieves and No Man's Sky and Destiny and more games kind of making the space something that is more about coming back and having updates and live service games as a service taking over what the, I guess, what the industry is at this point. You know, that is a big pivot and one that I'm glad is working out, right? Like, Xbox Game Pass, we talk about it all the time to the point where it's probably annoying at this point, but it's changing the game and it's changing the way that, you know, it's changing the way that the audience, I guess, expects video games, that the way the audience approaches video games, the way they get access, and the fact that the fact that they made the bold decision to be like, cool, all first party games are going to be on Xbox Game Pass is one that is at times still hard for me to believe, right? I look at Starfield, I'm like, damn, is that really going to be on Game Pass? That's crazy to me, right? The fact that Redfall, another one coming out next year, that's really going to be on Game Pass. Forza Horizon 5 came out on Game Pass. N4 came out on Game Pass. It's a cool thing that still blows my mind.
Halo Infinite's campaign, weeks away.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got one more Xbox news story. Story number three. This is another one from that same GQ interview. The Elder Scrolls 6 is all but confirmed to be an Xbox exclusive. This is Joe Screbbles at IGN. Head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, has all but confirmed that The Elder Scrolls 6 will be an Xbox console exclusive. In an interview with British GQ, Spencer said that he sees the sequel to Skyrim as a similar case to fellow Bethesda title Starfield, which was confirmed for Xbox Series X/S and PC earlier this year. At least in part, his reasoning seems to come down to what the Xbox ecosystem can offer its exclusives, including cloud gaming, Xbox Live services, and more. Quote, "It's not about punishing any other platform. Like, I fundamentally believe all of the platforms can continue to grow," Spencer told GQ. He continues, "But in order to be on Xbox, I want us to be able to bring the full, complete package of what we have. And what would be true when I think, and that would be true when I think about Elder Scrolls 6. That would be true when I think about any of our franchises." End quote. This is one that I don't think is a surprise, but I don't think we've also got any hard confirmation on. And so there you go. Elder Scrolls 6 looks like it's going to be confirmed as an Xbox exclusive.
I think we have gotten confirmation like a bunch of times, but for some reason people just don't want to hear it. Like this, I guarantee, mark my words, this will be a news story again.
Oh yeah. It's tough to hear, Tim. I think that's the catch, right? You saw somebody in chat right now is like, why is this still a news story? And yes, we have heard it and we do know the messaging, but like, you think of Elder Scrolls, that is one of the biggest franchises on the planet when it comes to gaming. And this has been a game that has been renowned for being multi-platform for years, right? And there are people in the common general audience that aren't reading the news every day that truly don't have that message quite yet. And it is going to have to be reiterated over and over again, right? And it is one of those, it will be sad for many people, right? But this is the way of the business. This is a big time game that will come first party to Xbox, and that's how it's going to be. But yeah, unfortunately, this message will be talked about a lot because the general public is not in the news every single day and their hearts are going to be broken all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, at no point, I think our Xbox going to be, hey, this is not coming to PlayStation, everybody. We're saying the words, Elder Scrolls 6 is not coming to PlayStation. And when you have so many people that aren't hardcore like us and reading the news every day and are super in tuned, I think it is the thing of, okay, well, we're just going to keep reiterating it in multiple different ways until people get it. Hey, Starfield is going to be an Xbox exclusive. That game is developed by Bethesda. That probably means that their next game is going to be Xbox exclusive, and it's probably a thing that they're going to have to keep saying over and over again until the message is clear and until like the wide public understands Bethesda games are coming out on Xbox only.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that Xbox at the end of the day, in terms of the people you're talking about, that mainstream that aren't watching Kinda Funny Games daily, I think that they're the bigger quote unquote issue that they have right now is the general understanding of what the Xbox ecosystem means and Game Pass itself. Like my normal friends, like if I went and texted my group chat that I have right now with my boys that grew up playing Halo with me and was just like, hey, do you know what Game Pass is? I don't think that they would know. And I don't, I think, I guarantee they would not understand that, oh, every Xbox game is day and date on it. Xbox is still going through that moment where the majority of people out there that are interested in video games to some extent still think, okay, there's a PlayStation and there's an Xbox. If I want an Xbox, I got to buy an Xbox to play Xbox games, even though that isn't technically true anymore, you know? So I think that where as long as there is still that kind of question, it's going to be a completely different, like, mainstream conversation about all this stuff. Because I think that for Xbox holding on to the Xbox One S and X, and then also having the Series, and then also having Cloud, and then also having Game Pass, and also having Xbox Live, there's just a lot of these brands that in 5 years, I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. Honestly, in 2 years, I don't think it's going to be a problem at all.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more normalized. This is a conversation. I talked about this on PS Love You like months and months ago about how I went to my barber and we were talking about, or my barber knows what I do for a living, right? So he was trying to talk to me about video games and he was talking about how, you know, he was trying to figure out what console he wanted to buy and all these things. And, you know, I asked him like, oh, what kind of games do you like? And he was like, I like driving. I like stuff where I'm like, you know, piloting or driving and all that stuff. And I like sat there and I was like, well, I host a PlayStation podcast, but I'm probably going to tell you to get an Xbox because I went through the thing. I was like, hey man, Xbox has a game called Forza and it's super dope. And there's also this other game called Microsoft Flight Simulator if you like flying. And if you get Xbox Game Pass, both of those are on there and it's a really good deal. And I gave him the sales pitch and he was blown away. He was like, oh shit, I didn't realize all this stuff was available. And yeah, I think it is. A lot of it is just getting the message out there. And I do think that it is going to take maybe a couple years, probably 2 to 4 years before there's just a general understanding of, oh, okay, like you, if you know Xbox, you know Xbox Game Pass, because that is Xbox at this point, right? I think that's going to come sooner than later.
Exactly. Yeah, and also Elder Scrolls is so far away, right? We haven't really been talking about Elder Scrolls. The conversation was Bethesda, then it was Starfield, right? Like Elder Scrolls is so far away that if I was to ask my mom, my girlfriend, who are in the know on gaming, but not really in the know, right? They'd be like, I don't know. Isn't it coming everywhere? That's how it's always been, right? But because we haven't gotten to that point yet. And also, Blessing brought up one good part. Like, Phil Spencer and the team have done a very good job on PR of saying this will release on all places that Xbox, like, ecosystem is possible. He has never once looked at the camera and been like, it's not coming to PlayStation. And I know they never will do that, but on the general audience side, but on the general audience side, sometimes I need it that clearly, Tim, right? Yeah. Like my little brother might need you to look at him and be like, it's not coming to PlayStation. And they won't do that, nor should they, like you said, Tim, but like sometimes people need you to spell it out for them. And that's also a big factor why we continue this song and dance.
But see, my thing is, I don't think that they should do that or will ever do that, because I think their ultimate goal is getting it on PlayStation. I don't think that that is a reality that is going to happen anytime soon. But I also never thought it'd be a reality that Game Pass would exist as it does, period. So I think that Phil and them are definitely like, yo, it's available where Game Pass is. And they hope the Game Pass one day is available everywhere, including PlayStation.
This next news story is one that I referenced a little bit earlier. Story number 4, UK Call of Duty launch sales are down. This is Christopher Dring at gamesindustry.biz. Call of Duty Vanguard's launch sales in the UK are down 40% over last year's game, the latest GSD data shows. Physical retail sales dropped 26% over the last year's game, whereas digital sales fell 44%. It is a disappointing result, but Vanguard is still the second biggest game launch of the year behind FIFA 2022, as usual. And remember, this is UK sales. It's tempting to speculate this may highlight fatigue within the Call of Duty franchise, but there are a few areas that will have negatively impacted sales this last year. Vanguard's critical reception was muted, and the World War II Call of Duty games have typically performed below that of the more modern-based titles. The console hardware transition is also something that needs to be considered, alongside shooter competition from Battlefield 2042 and Halo Infinite. Finally, there is the service-based Call of Duty Warzone. The free-to-play Battle Royale game launched last year and remains hugely popular. If we're looking at the top 10 in UK sales, they go like this. Starting at number 10, we have Animal Crossing New Horizons. At number 9, Minecraft Switch. Number 8, Spider-Man Miles Morales. Number 7, Far Cry 6. At number 6, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. At number 5, Grand Theft Auto 5. At number 4, Mario Party Superstars. At number 3, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. At number 2, we got FIFA 22. And then at number 1 this week is Call of Duty Vanguard. Is this one that's a surprise to either of you guys?
No, specifically because I don't think there's enough information here to necessitate actual headlines. Like, I don't think that this is necessarily a sign that it's going to be this much of a drop worldwide. Like, this is very much just UK in a place where it is the second biggest launch of the year behind FIFA. That won't be the case everywhere else in the world. So I'm interested what the rest of the numbers are going to be. And earlier you brought up a lot of things of like, yeah, like it's coming out in an interesting time right now. And especially when there is the free to play Warzone on that's satiating a lot of the Call of Duty kind of desires out there. And Vanguard, I think, kind of just had a different style of marketing push than we're used to with the Call of Duty's the last couple of years. And on top of that, there is the whole Activision Blizzard situation that I think has turned a lot of people off to their products right now. So I think there's a lot of factors that make this not a surprise, but I also, my gut tells me it's not as dire as this article is kind of making it sound.
I don't think it's one that Activision doesn't expect, because this is Call of Duty Vanguard, and I know Call of Duty as a brand, as an IP, is huge, right? That markets itself. But when you take Vanguard and compare it to Modern Warfare or Black Ops, especially coming off of last year where we got Black Ops Cold War, I think the expectation is, yeah, launching a new brand of Call of Duty is going to sell less than the previous one. We're also in the second year of the pandemic, and you know, as you remember, last year video game sales, video game interest was way up because of the pandemic. I think we're starting to see that level out a bit where, you know, we're, again, toward the end of the second year, I'm sure video game interest is not what it was when we were smack dab right in the thick of it, of the pandemic interest in games. So I think that's having an effect on it as well. Mike, does this surprise you at all?
No, you guys said it so well. I mean, what I would point to is I'll talk to you guys the first week of December when this new map drops on Warzone. Like Tim said, right? Warzone is the Call of Duty hotspot right now. And yes, every year Call of Duty normal will sell well, but they're making a lot of money and they're making a lot of headway in the Battle Royale genre that's free to play and selling a lot of microtransactions. And when this new map does drop, the talk and the everything, the attention will be over there. So let's talk about it the first week of December and see how that goes.
Before we get into our next news story, I want to remind you that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Listen, the holidays are coming and everything is about to get a little crazy. Give yourself a break and let DoorDash take care of dinner because DoorDash brings what you want to eat right now and right to your door. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. I love DoorDash so, so much. There's this burger place in San Francisco called 4505. Technically, they're a barbecue spot, but they are the best burgers in San Francisco, and I love using DoorDash to get them. I just got it yesterday for lunch. Fantastic stuff. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Next up, shout out to ButcherBox. If you've ever had a good piece of meat, you know what I mean when I say there's nothing quite like it. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Invest in some high quality meat from ButcherBox. Never scour the grocery store for that 100% grass-fed beef or free-range organic chicken again. I will never forget the day that Kevin Coelho decided to do a ButcherBox spread. We had some bacon, we had some sausages, we had some steak, we had some burgers. It was fantastic. ButcherBox only bring in the best. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high quality meat right to your home with free shipping for the continental US. Each box contains between 8 to 14 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual meals. ButcherBox is offering new members free bacon and $20 off your first box. Who doesn't love free bacon? Come on. This offer is ending November 21st, so get this deal before it's gone. Sign up at butcherbox.com/KFGD. That's butcherbox.com/KFGD to get free bacon and $20 off your first box. Next up, shout out to ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is basically like leaving your stuff at your table when you run to the bathroom in a coffee shop. Most of the time, you're probably going to be okay, but there's always the chance that you'll come back and everything's going to be gone. Listen, every time you connect to an unencrypted network like at cafes or hotels or airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your data and sell it. That's bad. You don't want none of that. But ExpressVPN stops all that by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device. All you got to do is open the app and click one button to get protected on all of your devices. I've been using ExpressVPN. My internet has been safe and I absolutely love that. I use it on all my devices, whether it's my phone, my computer, my TV, all of it. Come on, I'm trying to be safe. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/games. That's expressvpn.com/games, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/games. And finally, shout out to Amazon Music. You clearly have great taste in podcasts because you're listening to this right now. Why not try out Amazon Music? Well, you'll find tons of binge-worthy podcasts. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, but it's not just podcasts. They also have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. You can try out Amazon Music Unlimited. That gives you an unlimited access to 75 million songs, plus podcasts, music videos, and more with unlimited skips. They also have Dolby Atmos. That's what I've been using a lot of. It's been super awesome in this room, but also super cool with the headphones, getting a lot of the spatial audio going on. If you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now is a great time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. Give it a shot. Try it out. I'm telling you, try the spatial audio stuff. It is a trip. No credit card required. Just go to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. amazon.com/KFGD. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Let's talk about story number five. This is one that was reported on Saturday, and we have an update for it. But we're going to start with Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle, who puts up a story called GTA Trilogy Chaos Continues as Hot Coffee Sex Minigame Files Reportedly Have Been Uncovered. The story reads like this. Grand Theft Auto The Trilogy Definitive Edition's chaotic launch continued on Saturday as Rockstar confirmed it's pulled the PC version to remove, quote, unintentionally included game files. That potentially includes unlicensed music, full game scripts with developer notes, and even files claimed by users to be related to the infamous canned San Andreas sex minigame, Hot Coffee. At the time of writing, GTA Trilogy has been unavailable on PC for nearly 2 days. Following the remastered collection's release on Thursday, data miners uncovered what they called a holy grail within its games files. That includes nearly all the music that was removed from Vice City and San Andreas due to expired licenses, which is actually still present, and that the game simply chooses not to play. Even more tantalizing for fans was the discovery that the collection's code contains an uncompiled version of the main.sem file, which contains all the game scripts for GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, including cut and missing content, as well as notes from Rockstar North staff from that era. Data mining reportedly uncovered even more surprises in the Definitive Edition games files on Saturday, when social media users claimed to have uncovered data related to Hot Coffee, the infamous canned San Andreas sex minigame that ended up costing Take-Two more than $20 million in legal costs. That is the story. I'm pulling in a quick update from last night from IGN's Joe Screbbles, who writes, Rockstar Support has confirmed on Twitter that Grand Theft Auto The Trilogy, the Definitive Edition, is once again available for purchase on the Rockstar Games Launcher. So a bit of good news amongst what seems to be a trash fire.
Yeah. It's very upsetting. It's very sad. You know, like, Rockstar, come on. Like, you guys have the money. You guys have the time. Like, this whole launch just seems bad, you know, and it sucks because at the end of the day, I think that these games, there's not much more to do to, like, fix them. They are what they are, but there are just, like, kind of unforgivable elements here. And I think that this is, it's a similar thing to the Cyberpunk situation where when the game comes out, there's core things that are bad and wrong about it. But when those core things are wrong, it allows people to then be like, you know what else is wrong? This. And that's exactly what's happening here, where there's laundry lists now of weird fucking things with this game that I think had the core elements been okay, those things would have just been funny memes, but now are like a big actual issue, despite a lot of people having a lot of fun with these games. But that's also not a surprise because people have been having fun with these games for 20 years.
Yeah, that is, and I cannot wait to talk about it on PS Lobby, because that is the one of my big takeaways with playing this version of the GTA trilogy, is the fact that these games are still fun, right? Like, for the most part, these games are still these games, and people have been, I've been seeing like all the social media chatter about the game and reviews and all these things. And like, you know, if somebody spent $60 on the GTA Trilogy Definitive Edition and was like, yeah, I'm enjoying this, that wouldn't surprise me, because they are just those games, but they look better. That said, the remasters, these remasters just have a lot of a laundry list of issues that could have been dealt with, could have been touched up, could have this trilogy could have used so much more time in the oven, I think is where it just comes down, because there are all those bugs and glitches and issues that were in the original games, and I ran into quite a few of those during my playtime, and those are the things that I look at and I'm like, ah, whatever, like, these are just glitches from the original game, like, you know, maybe they should have fixed this, but whatever, this is a remaster, it's not necessarily a ground up remake. But then I run into bugs that very much seem inherent to this version of the game, and it blows my mind, Tim. Like, bridges that are just missing from the game, that are there, but like, you don't see them, right? They've just disappeared. Weird, like, frame rate stuff where, like, certain objects in the environment are going way faster than they should be going due to either frame rate, or maybe they were just programmed weirdly. Missions being bugged out in weird places that I haven't seen before. It is such a shocking... They released this in such a shocking state, and it just feels way undercooked. And again, we're going to get into all the nitty-gritty details on PS Love You, but... yeah, it's mind-blowing. And like the content that the data miners have brought up, right, and these seemingly being the reasons why they pulled the PC version so that they can deal with all this stuff, it's like, yeah, that's just another thing pointing to the fact that this is undercooked and you needed more time with this. And I think the Cyberpunk comparison is apt in that regard, in terms of, yeah, you should have delayed this, you should not have put this out this way, you could have put this out with like you could have put this out with way less issues and had way more excitement and hype and people actually fighting for it, as opposed to pretty much everybody playing it and being like, yeah, I enjoy it, but like this and this is definitively wrong with it, right? Like, these are objective issues that this game has that I can't defend. It's rough. It's so rough.
Totally.
Let's talk about the next news story, story number six. Speaking of big releases with a laundry list of issues, story number six, Nintendo says it's taking criticism of Switch's N64 emulation very seriously. This is, once again, Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Nintendo of America's president has said the company is taking criticism of Switch Online's N64 emulation very seriously and claimed it's looking at ways of improving the service. Speaking to The Verge in a new interview, Nintendo of America boss Doug Bowser said the company was aware of feedback to N64's Switch performance and suggested it could make improvements. Quote, we're constantly looking for ways to make our online features in those games better and continuing to add value through more services and more games as we go forward, he said. He continued, we take the feedback very seriously, and we're continuing to look at ways to improve the overall performance. For us, it's about quality and great content at a great value. Good news, Tim?
I mean, potentially, it's, you know, I guess it's good news that they're saying they're taking it seriously, but what does that mean? What are the action items? When are we actually going to see these things in play? Like, the biggest problem for me is to kind of turn this semi-positive is today we're celebrating Xbox. We're talking about how Xbox have made all the right moves. We need to see Nintendo make those moves. We need to see a kind of like real dedicated look into what works and what doesn't. What are simple things people want? Because we are 5 years, 4 years, whatever, into the Switch's life, and there's still two themes, black and white, even though themes is an option, one of the very few options in the settings menu of the Switch. Does that matter? No. It's really not that big of a deal. But I do think that that is a perfect example of the problem with Nintendo and the problem with this type of shit, where it's like, we just kind of expect bare minimum and then we expect things to just kind of work enough. But it's like, no, man, y'all have something special. Y'all have one of the best catalog of games of all time. And this is the way that you're going to celebrate it. This is the way that you're going to allow us to play these games, not even allow us to remap buttons in Mario 64. What the hell, man? Like, that's such a basic ass thing that should just be standard. Like, that to me, playing through a lot of the N64 games, I haven't had any issue that I would say is like ruined my experience playing these games. I've been having a great time on my Switch. Having said that, it's annoying as fuck that I want to change control and I can't do it. I want to turn off the overlays of the dumb little bubbles on the side of things, just make them black. Can't do that. Simple shit. Compare that to Xbox. Is accessibility options that kind of just inherently allow you to customize your shit however you want. That should be standard, especially for this.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to see companies go above and beyond when it comes to their services and when it comes to their platform. And I think today is one of those days where we look at Xbox and we're like, yeah, they're going above and beyond in terms of the services they're giving their audience, right? The features that they're giving their audience. Things like bringing back all these games from the original Xbox and adding FPS boost. That is something you don't need to do, right? You don't need to add FPS boost. Nobody's expecting that. But that is above and beyond. And then you look at this N64 Online business and it's like, cool, you guys did the bare minimum and maybe a little bit below the bare minimum, right? Like, you guys are barely even hitting the bare minimum there. And it's kind of a bummer, right? It's not something that I look at and I get super angry at, except for the fact that I do get angry at the price whenever I remember that I'm paying $50 for it, which I know I don't have to do, but I do anyway. You know, like, you can go above and beyond. You have the option to go above and beyond. I think the themes thing is a good thing to point out in terms of, yeah, you go to themes and it's black theme, white theme. And it's like, why do you have that menu? why are these options, right? Like, if you're not going to go above and beyond with it, it reminds me of Super Mario Maker when the latest one came out, the Super Mario Maker 2 came out, and they had the options for, like, I forget the exact wording, but it was like additional tile sets or whatever for Mario Maker levels that you can make. And it was, I think it was like Super Mario Brothers.
It's just 3D Land. World.
Was it 3D World? It was just 3D World.
3D and, World with the additional styles.
Yeah, with the additional styles. And people were like, oh, of course. I mean, they're saying styles plural. So of course they're going to add more to this. And we just never got it. And it's like, all right, cool. What was the plan here? Was there a plan here? Like, you guys are building up expectation and just not meeting it. It's kind of a bummer. And like, I cut this part out of the news story because I try to condense news stories to just the news. But going back to Video Games Chronicle, I want to read a little bit more of their article where they kind of lay out the issues that there are in this N64 Online thing. And so again, this is Andy Robinson, and this is the second part of his article here. Switch Online's expansion pack tier launched last month, it was met with frustration from some players, not only due to its pricing, but also emulation issues and a lack of features, including button mapping. In just 2 weeks, the trailer for Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack became Nintendo's most disliked video ever on its official YouTube channel. Some games have been reported to have a noticeable audio delay, meaning the sound is heard a split second after the action, while others have graphical issues such as The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, the game's inability to properly handle fog. Another issue receiving complaints is the app's apparent lack of support for the controller pack, the N64's memory card. This is placed in the slot at the back of the controller so players could save game data in titles that didn't save directly to the cartridge. Others have been complaining about occasional extreme lag when playing online with other players. Some videos on social media have been showing players trying to compete online against their friends at Mario Kart 64, but suffering extreme stutters and messages about poor connection. And then they go on to talk about a few other things. But again, it's a bummer. And like talking about this coming off of the GTA thing, right? Like I remember earlier in the last month, I was like, yo, this fall is such a me fall between the N64 online and between GTA trilogy. I'm eating, I'm living. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh man, I'm getting disappointed by like all these different things. It's a bummer, but I'm glad that at the very least they acknowledge it and see it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get some fixes.
Yeah, totally.
Let's round out this Roper Report with story number 7. Private Division has acquired Roll 7. This is Danielle Partis at gamesindustry.biz. Publisher Private Division has acquired the makers of Olly Olly series, Roll 7, and what will be a debut acquisition for the firm. The BAFTA award-winning studio was founded in 2008 and is currently working on the upcoming Olly Olly World, set to release in December. Roll 7 also has several unannounced projects in the works, which Private Division will support. While this is the first studio that the Take-Two subsidiary has acquired, Private Division has also acted as publisher for several other titles, including Obsidian's The Outer Worlds and Supergiant's Hades. The terms of the deal were not disclosed. Quote, Private Division has been an incredible publishing partner for Olly Olly World, and we're elated to continue to grow as a studio as part of the label, said Roll 7 co-CEO Simon Bennett. Private Division EVP Michael Warose added, quote, We're thrilled to welcome Roll 7 to the Private Division family. As a team passionate about action sports ourselves, seeing how Roll 7 combines the thrills of competition with the zen of achieving flow state in a video game is remarkable, and we can't wait to show the world this phenomenon with our release of Olly Olly World this winter, end quote. Tim, does this one do anything for you?
I know, it's exciting stuff, though. I love anytime people talk about flow state, I'm like, let's go. That's the type of games that I love the most. So good on them.
Yeah.
Get that money. Do dope stuff.
I think this is an interesting one in terms of this being Private Division's first actual acquisition. And Private Division has done some dope games in the past, right? Like the article lists The Outer Worlds and Supergiant's Hades, which is one that I didn't even realize. I didn't realize that they published Hades. I assume that was on specific platforms. Maybe it was all platforms. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know. But they've also done the... what's the space program? Kerbal Space Program, I believe is what it's called. Mm-hmm. They did that game. They've done quite a few other ones. And I think they've hit a certain bar of quality that you want these kinds of publishers to hit. And it makes me wonder if they're trying to build maybe their own Devolver or Thunderful or Annapurna in terms of, hey, we've been doing this for a while, and now we want to have an eye for actually making these games ourselves or publishing these games in-house. And so I'm always a fan of those types of publishing houses for indie games, because it gives a lot of indie studios, one, security, and then two, just ease in terms of putting out a game and knowing that they have a company over them that has
marketing
them.
Arms and all that stuff.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's key and fantastic stuff.
Exactly. So shout out to Roll 7 and Olly Olly World. Can't wait to play that when that comes out. But Tim, that game is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Tim, if I'm being honest, I was planning to rush this show because I wanted to go play some Halo. But man, this has been a good KFGD.
A good today, show, baby. Let's go.
A good show. Out today, we got Car Detailing Simulator Prologue for PC, Moncage for PC, Handball Manager 2022 DLC is out now. Which, Tim, did you know there was a game called Handball Manager 2022?
No, definitely not a game that was out enough to have DLC available, but hey, good for them.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know. And then Kung Fury Street Rage is out now for PC. New days
I would
for
like
you.
To announce that we will not be playing Halo today on the stream. Nick Scarpino will be playing Car Detailing Simulator Prologue instead.
Is that true?
No, it's not fucking true. Oh. Playing Halo.
I mean, you honestly, if you like stuck to it, you could have convinced me because I was like, oh, Halo must be having problems.
That sounds like a Nick ass game, though.
Yeah, no, that sounds like something they'd play on the stream. New days for you. We got Crown Trick Collector's Edition. That is launching December 10th. War Tales, a medieval open world tactical RPG, sets out for glory on PC via Steam Early Access on Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. And then A Short Hike is coming to PS4 and Xbox on November 16th. Tim. As always, people can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong where they can write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. Oh, man. You guys got things that I would have to, like, open up the links for.
Oh, no.
People are basically writing with like, breaking news. But none of this is big enough that I feel like I gotta bring it up this episode. We can deal. I can let Tim and Gary Wood deal with it tomorrow. Yeah, no, we're good. None of these are your wrongs. We're all
nailed
good.
The game, babes.
We nailed it. This week's hosts are as follows. Tomorrow, you're getting Tim and Gary. Wednesday, you're getting me and Tim. Thursday, you're getting Tim and Tam. And then Friday, it's me and Janet. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike, Andy, and Nick playing some Halo Infinite? ? If they're able to get into the game. We'll see. If you want to see, though, but you can't see it live, you should go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays where you can catch that stream later. Remember that this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, have fun playing Halo Infinite.